Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We're so excited that you've joined us today. We have an exciting guest on the air today, and that is Coach Greg Patton of Boise State, and we'll be getting to him shortly. Let me remind you that we do have other shows on the UR Tennis Network. On Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, we have Lisa Goodman-Stone, and she does a Parenting Aces broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. On Wednesday, before I come on the air, we have American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, and Chuck broadcasts out of the Citadel in South Carolina. And we have my show, which is the American College Experience, and it's a college tennis show that's geared for the college tennis fan. We hope to give you some insight into one of America's best-kept secrets. We'll explore all things related to college tennis in the U.S. We'll discuss diversity, schedule, facilities, education, and recruiting. We'll tackle some of the tough issues that are facing many of America's college coaches today. Also on Thursday, we have the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association Perspective with John Denise. And John broadcasts naturally out of Florida each and every week, bringing you a little different guest in regards to high school tennis. And I'll remind you listeners out there, if you are interested in helping us out on the UR Tennis Network, you can always get in touch with me through the email, and that is jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. And we'd love to talk to you about what you can contribute to our network. So I think that I've got Coach Patton on the line here. Just want to introduce him by saying he's the owner of the most wins by any active division NCAA Division I coach, and his team is currently ranked number 59 in the nation on the men's side. Let me see if I can bring him in. Hi, Coach Patton, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I sure am, Jason. So glad to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been a while since we visited, and I know you've been busy with the Boise State men's team out there. But before we get too involved in Boise State tennis coach, I wanted to ask you, and we've never really talked about it on this show, you've been the head coach for the Masters UBNP Paribas event over the last few years. Can you tell us what that event actually is and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, it is an incredible experience. Basically, what we do is we take the top American collegiate players, so the top Americans who play collegiate tennis, and we take them to France and we play an international tournament, team tournament, with seven other countries. And basically, the other countries are countries that have players that have a high ATP and WTA points. And, I feel kind of like Jerry Lewis over there because we've won it six out of the last 7 years. And it's almost like miracles happen there. It's just I don't get it, but I love it. I don't understand it, but we somehow, some way, we pull matches out of the fire and win the world championships every year. So now they think, nobody – knows who the heck I am here, but when I go over to France, everybody, in their tennis crowds, they all know the Americans and they all know who I am. So it's kind of like a bizarre little other reality that we have. But it's really popular over there. It's really, in a sense, a lot of the players have had college experience, be it overseas or in the United States. For example, the Irish team, the team from Ireland, is made up of all college players that are going to college in the United States and playing college tennis. And the British team is basically is British players who have played college tennis in the United States and have gone back to England and are trying to pursue professional careers. The French team is players that are on the circuit and they go online and they're taking classes. And so, every country has a different thing. The Russians are really unique because basically they're at the tennis academy and they're on the professional circuit, and they go back to this academy to train, and they also take classes. So it's a different scenario from every country, but we get around 3,000 people to watch every match. They broadcast it regionally and sometimes nationally in France, and it's the bottom line. It is fun. It is just fun. And we use it, the United States, we use it to expose our players to, like, Davis Cup conditions and to use it to help them improve and also to whet their appetite to want to pursue a professional career, because most of the players that they're playing are basically ranked top 500, top 500, top 200 on the ATP circuit. And just to give you an idea of the players that we've taken over, I took Stevie Johnson twice. He was on a team that was down. You play seven matches, and our team was down 3-1, and we went on to win the men's doubles, the women's doubles, and the mixed doubles. We had to win all three to win the match, and he was on that championship team. Austin Krajicek, who's top 100 in the world, played on that team. Last year we had Noah Rubin, who is now making incredible strides on the professional circuit, who won the NCAA singles last year, as well as he won Junior Wimbledon. So it is really a launching pad for players to play on the international circuit. And basically what we do is we get guys who really haven't had that much international play. They played a lot in North America, and they're playing college tennis, and it gives them a chance to flourish. And in a way, it's a reward. It's a reward for their success. It's a reward for their work ethic. It's a reward for their values, because basically we pick great people who make great teams, and then eventually what it does, it makes great players. So that's in a nutshell. I love it to death. I've done it. It's incredibly exhausting. This year our team was made up of Tom Fawcett from Stanford, Mackenzie McDonald from UCLA, Austin Smith from the University of Georgia. The women on the team, oh my gosh, was Danielle. Oh, I'm going to tell you in a second. I know all the girls, but I can't remember their last names because I give them all nicknames, and I'm around the men all the time. So it's a wonderful experience. I'll say just the format is you start off with two women's singles, then you're following it by two men's singles, and then you go women's doubles, men's doubles, and mixed doubles. This year, and I always say to my teams all the time, but I really said this to this team at one point, we were against the Germans, we were down 3-2 in the match points. And we were in the men's doubles, and our men's doubles was down 6-2, 5-2. And I looked at him, and I said something that I've always said to several of our teams is passion trumps logic, and we had to stay passionate. And most people go through life believing there is no such thing, that miracles don't exist. And my belief is that miracles occur almost every hour, every day, and it was going to happen then. And somehow we pulled off a miracle, came back, won the match, won that set, and then we won a tiebreaker. We were down to tiebreaker love four, and we're down love four and 8-4 because they played a 10-point tiebreaker third set, and we came back to win that 13-11, and then go on to beat the French in the finals for our fifth straight world championship. So it's incredible. I wish we could televise the United States because we get more fans, for sure.
Yeah. So it's been going on for 7 years, and the U.S. has won 6 out of the 7. Is that right, Coach?
Yeah, well, it started 8 years ago. I started coaching 7 years ago. And we won our first year when we were down 3-1 and came back. Second year, we lost to the French. And then since then, we've won 5 years in a row.
Wow.
So it's been, yeah, it's been incredible, incredible experience. I've loved it. And that's just a list. We've had so many great players that are playing professionally now that have played on that team. And it's magic. It's just pure, unadulterated magic. And the reason we do so well, because when you look at the rank, most of our guys are coming out of junior tennis, playing college tennis, and they don't really have that many ATP points or points, even though that is becoming a new development in tennis, is that a lot of college players are trying to get as many futures and challengers if possible. But really, we don't really have that much of a – but what we have is that these guys have played on a college they've played in a team environment. They understand the excitement. They understand the beauty and the feeling of playing for others. And then last but not least, the doubles have pulled our butts out of the fire so many times because doubles are so emphasized and accentuated and developed in the college system. Whereas a lot of these guys that are great players, they play singles and they don't play doubles. And they go out there and they're basically singles players playing a doubles game. And you can take those suckers down then, because we do a lot of things that have been developed through the college system. And the fact that college coaches do spend time and players do spend time and effort and energy and learning about how to play doubles properly. And so that helps. And as a matter of fact, the teams that play the best doubles at this international tournament tend to be the English the players that have played college tennis and have gone back to their countries and are now playing for their countries, in this collegiate event. So it's awesome. I'm almost breathless talking about it. I'm almost tired talking about it, but it's a great, and I keep going back, and like I said, I fly over, and I'm on the court all day. I don't get off the court, which means I'm coaching on the sidelines from 8 o'clock in the morning until the match ends. And the next thing you know, it's all over, and they have a big party and a dinner and a dance. And the next morning at 5 a.m. in the morning, we're on the bus to the train, to the airplane, to fly back to the States to get them back in school and such. So I'm one deep, exhausted, happiest man in the world because we fly back. And the beauty of it all is, Jason, is the relationships that we develop. And my job is to develop team building and team bonding exercises. We spend the first 2 days are obviously practicing. We spend most of the day doing team building and talking and connecting. So that the men and the women play for each other. So it's a team of 6 players, and my colleague that helps coach it with me is Amanda Augustus, who's done it for I think she's done it for 5 years. So she's won 5 in a row, and she's incredible. She's the coach at Cal, and she's a great coach. And I'm blessed. I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed that the USTA and the ITA let me go back and coach this team year in, year out. And like I said, I'm so close to those players. Now it's, they're part of my family, and they're part of, I always tell them they're like Broncos, because, coach of Boise State, and they're Broncos now.
And Coach, how are the players chosen?
USTA and the last year, Stephen Armitage, who's the director of the USTA Collegiate Program. And he has Brad Stein, who is one of my closest friends, who I coach with on the junior national teams back in the 80s. We get together and we talk about the pool of American players that are available. Then we extend invitations to them and say, do you want to have a journey that's like going to this, in the middle of the, November, December, and go to France and play and represent your country? And with the purpose of developing them and giving them the experience of what it's like to play like a Davis Cup or to play a team match for the U.S. and to use it to whet their appetite and fire for this incredible game and journey and to prepare them for the professional ranks. So we get together and we talk about it, and I'm more about people you give me. I don't really want the best player sometimes. I want the best person who can go out there and sacrifice and devote, you know, this 8-10 day trip where we're on the court all the time in the sense of intensity. And I always call it a heightened sense of living, that we go out there and we demand and that they are incredibly supportive of their teammates when they play, and they are. And we play the matches when, like, for example, one of the women are playing. We have all the men and the two other women that are watching, and we play the matches emotionally for them. We play it intellectually for them. And we play it spiritually for them, and then we just tell the player to go out there and let the physical ability flow and flourish and thrive and explode. So it's and that's what we do in college tennis. I mean, it's just all these tricks of the trade. You know, you win or you learn by coaching college tennis. You know, I mean, we're together 7 days a week, you know, four weeks out of the year, I mean, out of the month, and, you know, 9 months out of the year, we're with these guys and we're growing with them, and it's a family, and that's the whole thing. We don't want to be a dysfunctional family. We want to be a close-knit family who truly cares about each other and cares about each other on the court, off the court, and in life, and we learn from each other, you know. So that's what it's all about. That's what college tennis is about, and this is what the Masters U is about. Great concept, and it's because of American college tennis. It's all these other associations and federations around the world are going, wow, why are our players are going to the United States to play college tennis? And they're coming back, and they're doing pretty well in the professional circuits, and they're learning, let's tap these suckers over there in the United States. Let's do something. And so the French Tennis Federation was the ones that instigated it in collaboration with the ITF, and then they got the sponsors, you know, is the BNP Paribas, you know, the bank, and they're really all over it. And, you know, the thing is so great. I mean, you got media, you got TV, and you got, like, for example, the tournament director is Pascual Maria, who is the top tennis official in the world. If you ever watched the finals of the Slam, he's the guy in the chair. If you ever watched Davis Cup, he's the guy in the chair and runs it. When I had Davis Cup here at Boise against Serbia a few years ago, Pascual comes there, and I always kept telling him I lived in Boise, and because I see him every year in France, and we're good friends, and he runs the tournament as the head official for the collegiate event over there, and he comes to Boise, and I come walking, I give him a hug from behind, he looks at me, he almost started to cry, and goes, what are you doing here? And I said, this is where I live. This is my home, Boise, Idaho, and he loved it, you know, so that even kind of made the relationship stronger. And here, so you have the top tennis official in the world who runs this collegiate event because they see the value and the worth of it. And it's a great event. And we'll be there. We're going back every year. I mean, the Americans are going to go there. And once they got U.S. to buy into it, now all the countries want to go. We had China there this year. We've had Russia. We've had Spain. We've had Germany. And basically the teams, the seven others, we get to go every year now because we won it so many times. And they're sick and tired of us, but they want us, you know, because they want to beat us. And but we had, Ireland goes back every year because they have a good college network. And they really, and England, obviously, and French, and the French want to win it in the worst way. And we've played them in the finals, I think, four out of, you know, they've won it in the last 7 years. The first 8 years ago, Russia won it. Then we won it. And then France won it. And then the following years, we've played in the finals, basically Russia and France. The poor Germans always get us in the semis. And somehow, some way, and I don't know, like I said, it's a miracle. We just, and they're great. I love their coaches and I love their players. Somehow we sneak out a win every time. And every time it looks like we're done, we're fried, you know. It looks like they've got us on the barbecue and they're just rolling us, you know. And we've been grilled, but we slip out of it and we win it. So great stuff.
And it's truly a remarkable event. I mean, it really is. And I kept up with it for several years. I didn't quite understand It's a team format. Do you play all the matches on at once, or are they one at a time?
No, almost one at a time. So that's the reason. That's the reason it lasts all day. We start the matches usually around 9, and but you know we're there at the Quick Start on 7:30 getting ready, and we go 9 o'clock till. 7 o'clock at night, and 9 in the morning till 7 at night, and we're, you know, the guys, well, and we have the kids, you know, come and watch, and then to get ready, you know, go on the adjacent court and warm up. We always have a coach on the court, and we're kind of running the players back and forth, and usually by the men's doubles and mixed doubles, you know, everybody is there. Once they're done playing their singles and doubles, they're there watching the matches, and everybody plays. They have a rule that you take a team of 3 men and 3 women, and everybody has to play at least one match. And so every day you're kind of rotating it around and experimenting and having the time of your life. And then we get together at night, and we have a team meeting, and all the coaches get together and have a beer, and then we go at it. We go out to go to war the next day. So yeah. It's really cool.
Well, it is a special event, and it's something that we've never really discussed here on the show, and I was glad to kind of open up people's eyes to what goes on. I mean, it is an event that happens outside, but yet with the ITA, and we do win it. So, you know, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we got a lot of our American kids excited about playing because they talked about with all their teammates at college tennis, and they all love it so much. Now we got all the players pounding at it, and then they realize that guys like Stevie Johnson played in it, you know, Austin Krajicek and Karina Falcone, and I mean, so many players that are doing really well. All our players, former players, are now on the circuit, you know, some having great success, some, having, you know, just starting this journey. Jameer Jenkins played for us. Eric Quigley is still out there playing, so unbelievable, the greatest thing.
Very good. Well, I think we could probably spend the whole day talking about that, Coach, but I wanted to talk about Boise State tennis as well. How was your fall?
Fall was good. Fall was good. You know, we have 4 new freshmen, so it's a question of what we're trying to do is get the feet wet, you know, and start and kick them off on a new journey. So the fall was good. You know, the fall season is so much fun because, you know, you're traveling to different tournaments, and every week we send 4 guys to a different tournament somewhere. It was a kind of a great experience, a unique experience for me, because my assistant coach took it right at the start of the, not even at the start, after the fall semester started, got offered a job as head coach at Fresno State. So I was kind of riding solo, you know, so every week I was going to a tournament around the country, to Tulsa, to, you know, Phoenix, to San Francisco, there's so many cities now, I can't remember where and what I was doing, but I always was one of few of my players playing. And the whole idea of the fall is to get better, to compete, to see how they compete, to teach them through the tournaments. Winning the terms is not as important as letting them taste and smell the fragrance of the food, in the sense, and the food is the competition. And I really believe a warrior becomes a warrior in war, which means, you know, a player becomes a player in play. And so it was a great, for us, it was good. We basically have our whole team back from last year, and that was like a miracle team. We finished the season winning 14 out of 16 matches, beat 4 nationally ranked schools, beat 3 schools that had beaten us previously during the same season. So we got better. So I always feel, you know, I just saw in the football game that Alabama has those 3 words, finish, finish, finish. We always say finish strong. And the whole course of the season for us, the way I look at it, is get better. Get better. Get better through competing, get better through practice, get better through education, which means the knowledge that you learn, and also get better by the fact that you're becoming more experienced. And experience comes from just the aging process. It's kind of like cheese. You just age cheese and it tastes better. And so we kind of every match, every experience is a process for them to really flourish at the end and finish strong. So that's kind of what happened to us last season. Our guys all got better, and I have, out of my six players on my squad last year, five of them returned. My number one graduated, who ironically was my son. And then we have four new freshmen in this season, and we start play on Saturday, which is really exciting. We have a doubleheader against Grand Canyon and University, which is a really good team in the WAC conference. I think they lost in the finals last year. And then the other team who plays Montana State, who's a strong Big Sky school. And I'm going to play in both matches. I'm going to play my four freshmen. And I'm a thrill seeker. It's going to be scary. But I need them to get their feet wet right away and understand that they belong in the program and that they're going to contribute to the program. And that they also are the foundation of the future. And I'm going to create their future now. And they're really important to my future as a coach and having a program to get back in the top 20 in the nation. So the only way you do it is you've got to throw them into the water and hope they swim and don't sink. And teach them as they're going along and teach them how to swim, teach them how to race across that ocean. So that's what's up. What's up with us coming up. I love the battles. I always look at it as it's thrilling, it's fun, it's entertaining. But for me, it's a state of heightened living to see my players compete. And I guess the bottom line is this. And people ask me how I've done this so long. I've coached 37 years. I feel like I'm 25. I've been in Boise for 23 years, but I took 4 years off to be a national coach at USKA from 98 to 2002. So now I'm going on my 20th straight. My 20th season at Boise State collectively, and it's still thrilling, it's still exciting, and it's still it gets me up in the morning with not getting out of bed, but jumping out of bed and looking forward to it. And I'm so, it comes down to this, Jason. I love to watch my players play. I love to watch them at practice. I love to watch them play in tournaments. But when they're playing for the team and they're playing out there, I am in love with it. It's like some of these guys do these binge network, Netflix things and watching Breaking Bad. When I watch my guys, I feel like I'm watching the Netflix series Breaking Good. I just watch that dang thing. I mean, I love watching, playing, and being a part of it, And it's like everything else in the world disappears, and the only thing going on is what's happening on the tennis court. And the dynamics and the stories and the atmosphere of what goes on in it. It's amazing because, what's going on court seven or on court six, and a guy can be playing four courts away on court number two, and play number two singles, and he knows everything that's going on at court number six. You know what I mean? And there's all these different stories. I tend to look at a college tennis match with all the matches going on as going to a film festival. And you can walk to a different theater, watch a different movie. And on one court, you see a comedy. On the next court, you see a thriller. On the next court, you watch a documentary. Watch the next court, you watch a cartoon. It's just like a musical. And it's, every court is a different, like some are horror stories, some are thrillers, some are comedies, some are just nice family fare. It's just like one's like a war movie. And, and sometimes the endings aren't the way you want them to be. And sometimes it has a great, glorious ending. And some are boring as hell. But you win, or some are boring as hell and you lose, where that's really hell. Where the guy, loses 6-1, 6-1, and that's what's so great, because it's like a different film festival all the time. At least you just don't watch one thing I don't ever want is want to have six courts and they're all zombie movies. You know, I can't even stand one zombie movie, but to see more than one, it just would drive me crazy. I like the thrillers. I like the matches that go down to the end of the wire. And I love it when the match comes down to the match is being called. When I said being called, it comes down to when the score is 3-3, and this is what people are missing out. That's the reason we got to televise this, because it's so exciting. It's just like that football game on Monday night. It's just like, again, that basketball game. It's won on the last second shot. And here you have matches that go and cost tennis where it's 3-3, and all of a sudden there's one kid playing singles out there, and he's been called. And the pressure is incredible. And the and every ball is, you know, everybody lives and dies on that one ball that's hit. Even more so than just watching the pros play or a tournament. So you're watching guys play for each other. And the only other place that you get that is you get in team tennis at a high level in high school, as well as Davis Cup, you know, when the Davis Cup. I mean, if you watch the when Belgium beat the French, was it, in the semifinals of Davis Cup this year, it was like, it was exhilarating. It was electrifying. You were tingling. It doesn't matter if you're an American watching. You have no, you know, attachment at all to the French or the Belgians, but you watch it and it's tingling. It's just, it's mind blowing. It just, you can't describe it. It's just the feeling that you have, and you understand the beauty of that. And the competition's mano a mano, and two guys swinging away at each other. Gotta love it.
So is the fall regional, is that the biggest temperature gauge you have for your team in the fall, or is there another tournament which you can kind of look at and see how things are going?
No, you hit it right in the button. It is a regional tournament. The regional tournament, because you're playing against all, where you really, you know, you find out what type of mustard you got is in that regional, because those are the guys you're going to compete against mainly during the team season. So, and that's where you find out about your guys. You really got to put them there. And you know what? You got to put guys under pressure. Remember, you know, Billie Jean King said pressure is a privilege. And I love putting the guys into the pressure cooker to see what they got. And they can grow from it. It's not like if they win, but how do they handle and how do they respond to this? And that's what, you know, tennis is all about, more so than everything, because you're so naked out there by yourself on the court. Is how do you respond to pressure? How do you respond to these matches? And that's where we get a gauge of like who's going to grow and how, what we as a coach can do to help them, the ones that don't respond to it very well or don't have the result. How can we help them to overcome that? And they can and they will. You can't, you know, it's just not, I think great coaches in practice apply pressure more. A great coach does this. He applies pressure in practice and takes it off in their matches. So,
well, Coach, let's talk about Boise State just for a little bit. How many students go to Boise State?
That's a great question. I think there were probably around 19,000 to 20,000. So it's a growing school. When I first got there, it was probably 11, 12,000, you know, 23 years ago. But now it's it's the school is growing. It's unbelievable what a fantastic university it is, and how it's growing physically, and how the community embraces it. And we have our college matches, the community, you know, we average, you know, 300 or so people to a match, and in big matches we get up to 2,000 people. We get some matches, we get 600, 700, 800 people to a college match. So if you look on the ITA rankings on the attendance, records, we're always in the top 10. I think we were ranked 7th in the nation last year in terms of total attendance. So Boise State and Boise is really, really special. It's really special. And the school and the community embraces this. You know, they're on TV, they're on the radio, we have, you know, articles in the paper, they follow us, and we should have probably 300 or so people at this doubleheader that we're going to be having on this Saturday. So that'll be our kickoff. You know, we'll be indoors at a club, and we have an indoor facility as well as a beautiful outdoor facility, and we do something pretty unique. We do most of our schedule, we go on the road at the start of the season. For example, we start off the season at home, and then we're on the road, and we're on the road for weeks. We our schedule, which is exciting, and you know, it's a great way to team build as well, because we travel so much together, and the guys are always on the road with each other at the start of the season, so they get to, we become very close. We become close as friends, teammates, and that creates this family bond that's so good. But we start our season this weekend at home, and then we go the following weekend, we go to Texas to play College Station Texas A&M will play the University of San Francisco the first day, and then hopefully we'll play Texas A&M the second. Then the following weekend, we go to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. Then the following week after that, we get a home match for February. We get one home match for February, and that's Santa Clara comes to our place. But then we go back on the road to Utah, BYU. We go to Oregon, play Oregon and the University of Indiana. Then the following week, we go to Montgomery and play in the Blue-Gray tournament, which in the last 3 years, we've won that tournament, and that's a great tournament. It has several, I mean, every team's nationally ranked in the top 20, 30. That's the reason 2 years ago we were ranked 15th in the nation. But that is Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma State, South Florida, Princeton, schools like of that nature, Notre Dame, Texas Tech. Those are the schools that played in it. Then the following week we go, gosh, I'm just looking at this now. I can't believe how much. We're road warriors. I feel like this is a presidential election, and I'm a candidate for president. We go to San Diego and we play the Pacific Coast Doubles and play UC Irvine. Then we come home finally again. We play Michigan State, and then we're back out where we go to California, play all those California schools. And then we end up April when the weather's really sparkling and spring is here and everything is great, because March and April, we're outdoors also, and we have great weather here. But we just, by the nature of the beast, we don't play at home much during March, but we play all home. And if we play our conference schedule, we play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches at home in April before conference and then the NCAA championship. So it is my life for the next 4 months, Jason, is going to be like I am going to be every waking second, I'm going to be like at a rock concert. And when I'm sleeping in some places where I wake up and I have no clue where I'm at because I'm not in my own bedroom. You know, so I am on this journey for it. I just prepare for it. I love it. I just prepare. It's like being shot out in outer space, and there's going to be great stories. There's going to be great matches. There's going to be elation, and there's going to be despair. And it's going to be, and I just thrive on it, you know. It's like I'm in the middle of this great epic movie, and you know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know. And so, like I said, 2 years ago, we were 28-5. We beat, you know, we were beating teams in the top 10, top 20, and we were ranked as high as 15th in the nation. And then the following year, we had injuries. I lost two of my top players. And during the season, we started 10 guys, and we only had 7 guys that could play. And we were 5-13, and we won 14 out of the last 16 matches to get win the conference for our fourth straight year and go to the NCAA for the 16th time in the last 19 years. So who knows? Who can explain? You know, who can explain this whole journey?
So, and, Coach, you participate in the Mountain West. What other teams are in the Mountain West?
Man, that's a kickback conference, too. It's like the teams that are really good. Well, they're all really good. We had 7 teams ranked in the top 75 last year. So people don't ever minimize how the Mountain West and that this conference soars. But the teams that have done really well has been, well, New Mexico, when we played New Mexico in the finals of the conference 4 years in a row. Not 3 years in a row. Last year it was at New Mexico, and they were ranked top 30, and we beat them in the semis. But New Mexico is always a top 30 team. San Diego State's top 30. You have Utah State, which is that's a great story. I won't get to Utah State and Fresno State to last. You got Nevada, who got to the final of the conference last year. Their team was mainly all French players and good play, really dang good team. And then you have Air Force Academy, and you have UNLV. And like I said, I think I've said six teams. No, I said five. Then you have Utah State, who had not won a match at a conference for 8 years. And then they get Clancy Shields, who played for me and who was my assistant coach, who I'd coached since he was 12 years old on the national team. He goes to Utah State, and last year, going into the last week of the conference, they were undefeated in the conference, the number one team. Then we beat them, and I hated to do it to Clancy because I love him like my son, but we beat them, and then in the day, then we won the conference. But Clancy's got a great program, and they're nationally ranked. They're a great team, and they were like the team that used to be the doormat of the conference, and now they're unbelievable. Great recruiting, great players, great training. And then Fresno State, who historically has always been a great program, and to be honest with you, you know, that's always been a program that's been the launching pad for some great collegiate coaching careers. Peter Smith was there. You had Brad Stein, who's a national coach, was there. You had Jay Uwadia now, who's at Oklahoma State, was at, you know, Fresno State. And now he's at Oklahoma State. And so their coach now is, their coach is Luke Shields, who was my assistant coach at Boise State, and who's the brother of Clancy. So you have two brothers, both who played at Boise State, and both who are my assistant coaches, who are now, you know, coaching at conference schools. And so, and Fresno, he went out and, you know, he went out right after he left me at Boise State, which was in October, the start of October, or really mid-October is when they offered him a job. He went out there and, dang it, used that recruiting savvy that he was using for us here and brought in three players, one from the Czech Republic, one from Lithuania, and I think the other guy's from Serbia. And also I'm looking at a squad and I'm going, oh, my God, those guys are going to be great. I go, why didn't I get those guys? I'm just kidding in a way, though. I'm still more of an American type guy. We've already signed two Americans, and we're trying to sign a third. So, and our team last year was basically five Americans. The seven guys that played, there was five Americans and two English guys. But I kind of consider them, you know, they're like Americans. I mean, they speak the language, and they came over to try to colonize us. But So the conference is good. The conference is great, to be honest with you. And I think we can be, if you look, we got more teams in the national rankings, or just as many as all the powerhouses, you know, the Pac-12, the SEC, and, you know, now the Big 12. But we're right in there. I think we're a mover and shaker in tennis based on how well our conference has done. And it's a great conference, great coaches, great competition, tons of fun.
Greg, do you have a rivalries inside or outside the conference?
Oh, yeah, we got, oh, my God, I got more. Well, it used to be Fresno State, but I think, and I think it's going to be back to Fresno State. But we have, our main rival right now, I think, is New Mexico. Only for, you know, for the fact that it, one, that we've been fortunate enough to have beaten them, like, I think, 16 years in a row. And then, but they were always in the finals, and we were always matches. Like I said, I believe in miracles happen every day. I mean, we, one time they were, oh gosh, it looked like they had us down and out in the finals of the conference, and when it was played at the Air Force Academy and 3 years ago, and they were serving for the match, and we broke back and went back and won it in a tiebreaker. And so that's a great rivalry. We have a great rivalry with Pepperdine, believe it or not. We always just go head-to-head with them. And last year, we played them twice. They beat us, and then we beat them. So it always, we always have a great rivalry with them. We love that rivalry. And BYU, we have an intense rivalry with, believe it or not. That's really, really a major rivalry. So it's kind of but I think those conference rivals, that's the reason the conference is so much fun, is the stakes are higher. San Diego State and us, we go at it too. But I know that they have other rivals. But I think like with Fresno State and New Mexico, they always shoot for us and we always shoot for them. And the same thing with BYU. I think it's a regional thing with BYU. they always feel like whenever we go down there, we always feel like it's this match means more to them than just a natural collegiate match. You know, they just make it feel like, God, this is like for life and death. So you gotta love, you know, you love those you love those things when the stakes are high. I think that means that there's more fun at stake. You know, you just, when you win it, you're just so relieved, and when you lose it, you're devastated, and you get the guys together and you just go on and move on, and then you have gratitude for the fact that you have gratitude that there is that sense of importance, you know, that the guys go out and they realize they're playing for school and that they're playing against schools that they really want to be, but they have so much respect for them. See, that's one thing. The rivalries are all about respect. You have an ultimate respect for your opponent. That's the reason the greatest honor you can do for your opponent, I always tell my guys, is to beat them. You know what I mean? It's to stay at that level because we know how good those programs are.
Greg, is this a team sport with individual opportunities or an individual sport with team opportunity?
Oh, wow. I've never heard that. Is this a team sport with individuals? No, it's an individual sport with team opportunities, definitely. I mean, you take these individuals, and the whole idea is to mold them into a family and to play for each other, to make them understand the importance of playing for each other. I always say that the reason people play, and you always ask people why they play, and they always say, well, it's fun, it's a way to get a scholarship, I want to go pro, great way to meet girls, I don't know, my parents made me do it, whatever. And I always found, one time I heard a guy tell me, he says, I play it for the feeling. And I went, oh, my God, that's it. And I told the team, you guys play, you love the feeling. And they all looked at me and they go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I do. I love the feeling. I said, what's the greatest feeling? And they go, well, the greatest feeling is to win. You know, they always say that, always, to win. I go, no, it's not to win. The greatest feeling is not to win. The greatest feeling is to play, is to go out there and participate. Not be a spectator, but be a participant. The second greatest feeling is to play for others. And they go, yeah, that's right. When you're playing for your teammates, there's nothing better. You got those guys, they live and die for you, and they pick you up when you lose, and they carry you when you win. And then they rejoice in you, and they celebrate with you when you win. And the third greatest feeling is to play well. Do it well. Do whatever you do well. Don't be a half-ass out there. Do it well. Then the fourth greatest feeling is to win. Win affirms everything that goes on. But winning is not the most important feeling. It's not the greatest feeling. It's not the most prominent feeling. The great, you know, you want to get to that place where you love to compete. And then, you know, there's another day. You know, if you win, it really stimulates you to keep going. And if you lose, you know, if winning motivates you and inspires you to keep playing and to do well, losing kind of kicks you in the butt. I mean, it can give you that grit that you like. You know, I don't mind our guys losing. I don't mind losing. You know, you said I was the winningest coach, an active coach, and I've won a lot of matches. It means two things. It means I've been around a long time, but it also means I've probably lost a lot of matches too. And, you know, I've won 775, I think, matches, or 74, but I've lost like 335. I mean, that's like 12 seasons of straight losses, 0-30 every year. You know, and then I went on a win streak. I'm sorry, matches in a row. Love that. But I like how we kind of missed the match. We kind of throw it a little bit in there.
Greg, I got to ask, you know, with all this enthusiasm, what are some of the biggest challenges you face?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, the rules are kind of, the rules are regular. I mean, it's, the challenge is, I mean, you always got to be on top of the rules. Because the rules, I mean, the NCAA rules are so confusing. They're so elaborate. They're so, you know, I mean, you just, and they're changing all the time. And you're always trying to do the right thing, you know, do the right thing so you don't get your players in trouble. You don't get hurt. And also to honor the integrity of the game, you know. And that's one. Recruiting is a challenge. I mean, it's international. Now everybody's flying all over the world to recruit. And it's, you know, it's, and the challenge is keeping, make sure the facilities, you know, it's an arms race to have the best facilities. It's an arms race to have the best facilities. And, you know, we're trying, we have a beautiful outdoor facility. I mean, our outdoor facility is like a Taj Mahal. Our indoor facility, we got six, you know, really great courts or practice courts in a sense, because we don't really have much seating in them, but they're great courts. And then that's the reason we play at clubs where we have a club that can seat 500, 600 people and have like stadium seating, so that's good that we can use. But it's that's a challenge. I want to get an indoor facility on campus that where we can seat people and get the community to come in. And I think, you know, it's sometimes, you know, it's competing against, like, when you compete in your own program. We love our football program. We love my basketball coach is my best friend. And, you know, you rejoice in their success, but it's also kind of, you know, getting every, you know, I'm sure all the coaches, you know, just trying to get their due share of, you know, help and funding and support so you can do all the things that you need to do to be a great program. I mean, greatness is what we want all to attain in our lives and everything that we do, greatness. And so I want this to be the greatness of my players' lives, to have an experience that will resonate through them for the rest of their lives and have friends that they've made that are family to them the rest of their lives. And that's what happened. I just went online and saw on a Facebook page a bunch of my former players going about it, about how they used to travel in a van, and they were just telling stories about the old days. And I wrote them back, and I said, "You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me. What are you doing?" You know, they were talking about a coach, and they were talking about the road trips, and they were talking about the meal per diem and all that stuff that went on back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And it's just great to see that college experience means so much to them. We're going to do an alumni event in April, and we're going to hopefully get them maybe 100. You know, that's my goal, get up to 100 of my former players. So I've been here for so 20 years, or really 24 years. But I've had guys that, you know, have played all 24 years. You know, I took 4 years off. But, you know, they played all – I had, you know, freshmen who played on those teams when I wasn't there and who played for me in their senior year and things like that. So I love seeing that. I love seeing that journey. I love seeing that just that heritage, that legacy, and how important it is in their life.
Is there anything you would change about college tennis currently?
I try and make the doubles a little bit longer. The six, I'm not, you know, you play a set, and that's just like, that is like a one-song concert. You know what I mean? It's just like, I wish we could play. I love doubles. I love doubles to death, and I wish that we could do a pro set, but I understand. I think they do need to shorten up the format to get people really invested. We got to really promote it as best as we can. And I think some schools promote the programs really good. I think other programs need to learn how to do it, so we need to get that to educate them. And when I put my fanny off, I get up in the morning to do a radio, do the weather on TV once a week at 4:30 in the morning. During the season, so all I can do is, you know, I talk about tennis. I tell them if it's raining or if it's snowing or, you know, sunny and warm or whatever it is. So you got to promote. But I think that was the thing that – what was your question? I almost got up on – I started thinking about – where were we?
Anything you would change about college tennis?
Oh, change. Yeah, I just – get it televised. Get it on TV. You know, I wish we could get it on TV a little bit more. I think with, you know, streaming it. I think, to be honest with you, I think it's going to happen. I think the advances in, you know, programming now. I mean, I remember when I used to be three stations and, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC, and now you have 300 and 400, 500 stations on TV. And so let's get it. I know some of the conferences are doing that, is get it on TV and get it so you can push a button, which is going to happen, push a button that you can see what's going on court three, and you can push in if that match looks like it's done, and you can go to court one and see what's going on there. And so I think that's it. I think I wish we could play more matches during the season. They limit us to 25, which I think is, you know, when you look at baseball playing all their matches or games, it's like ridiculous, but I wish we could play more matches, and I wish we could lengthen the doubles point a little, just a few more games. I wish it wouldn't just was just one set, but I wish it was a pro set. And those are probably the things. I wouldn't change too much. I think team tennis format's really, really healthy for the sport. And I think it's really great for the sport and for the community. And that's how in Boise we got per capita. We have more people playing tennis than any other city in the country then, except for maybe Atlanta. Everybody plays here. Or leagues are just we have leagues year-round. People play. They just love it. And I think I'm really proud of the fact that I think Boise State Tennis was the instigated all that. It was, you know, set that fire, you know.
Well, Greg, I've got to get you out of here, but I want to know, and for my fans here on the show, why should they be following you? What makes your team so dangerous this spring?
Well, we're going to be like, we're really dangerous because we got some young guys that are pretty talented, but they don't know what the heck they're doing. So it makes it really exciting to watch it. I always go to that place like, oh my God, this is going to be fun. What the heck are you going to do? We're dangerous. We're experienced. We got three seniors, and it's going to be, and they've gotten better. And I think the one thing is to follow us is just that the guys care. It's a life. They do everything together, and that's what's so beautiful about it. It's a team. I have a bunch of individuals that sacrifice their own individual needs and wants and whatever to play for each other. And that's why I love it. And that's the reason I think when people watch us, then that's the reason they love to watch us. You go to the Blue Gray, we got so many fans there, the Blue Gray, because of just this energy that we have and enthusiasm. There's no way. Enthusiasm is a very attractive quality. It's a very attractive quality. And so, my dog keeps following me around. I'm trying. But I think that's one reason. There's nothing more exciting to see people do anything when they care about and they're passionate about what they do. So that's the reason. That's the reason you watch College Tennis, because all the good coaches, that's what they do. They get their players playing for each other. And the what's most important thing is the team. And it's not me, I. And then you see great teams see great players, and their teams aren't very good, and everybody's really selfish. Everybody likes to see that selflessness.
Well put, Coach. Well, and I know you've got a busy afternoon, and I want to let you get on to practice. So thanks for coming in today, Greg.
Thank you so much, Jay, and I enjoyed talking to you. And I hope you put your seatbelt on. Sometimes I get going, and you can't stop me. So, but have a great day, and go Broncos, and go USA, and go College Tennis.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Patton, and you can tell that the man is enthusiastic about college tennis, to say the least, and enthusiastic about his Boise State team. Definitely one of those NCAA teams you should keep your eye on in the future and track them and see how they do. We're going to take a week off next week. We've got some other things that are going on, and then we'll be back the next week with Coach Ronnie Bernstein from the University of Michigan. Look forward to visiting with her, and want to thank you for listening in today. And if you can, get out there and hit some tennis balls. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.